Well, I must be getting old, because the romantic lyrics on the radio don't seem that romantic to me anymore. There was one playing the other day, and the words were, "Maybe you don't have to rush, you can leave a toothbrush at my place." And I'm thinking, don't be leaving your toothbrush on my bathroom counter and your socks all over the floor, and clean up after yourself, like if you're over. Or this one, it was by Team Pop Gods, congratulating themselves for loving you despite your perfect manifesting your imperfection, and the song goes, "You never want to know how much you weigh, you still have to squeeze into your jeans, but you're perfect to me." I guess I'm getting to that age where I'm happy to still be squeezing into my jeans. That might be a good thing, I don't know. But one of the things about growing older is that you notice that there are numerous lost arts. The lost art of romance. Perhaps music isn't what you would consider music anymore. What passes as food would probably shock our grandmothers, because cooking and canning seem to be lost arts these days. And, you know, Jeremiah was living in a time and speaking to a generation that had lost God, and perhaps lost the art of being aware of God, or of even recognizing that somehow the relationship wasn't there, and somehow God had gotten lost in the shuffle of life. And I wonder if we're kind of living in a similar time. Have we traded in God for something else? Do we even recognize God? Do we even recognize that God is absent, replaced, or even just plain out forgotten in our culture? And the image that Jeremiah gives us is one of water. And here in Canada, we live so close to water and have so much fresh water that it's hard to preach on passages that talk about water in the Bible, because we have so much of it on our doorstep. In fact, I kind of think it's funny sometimes when people talk about emergency community planning, like what happens if the water doesn't come through our taps? And I'm thinking, we take a bucket and we go down to the lake and we get a bucket of water and put it through a coffee filter and throw a little bleach in it. That's what we used to do. Some of you might even remember doing that. It's right there. And yet, if it doesn't come through the taps, we forget that it's right there. It is a precious resource, though. And we are so abundantly blessed with water in our country that we simply take it for granted. So preaching on it is really hard. Because Jeremiah was speaking to a group of people that were living in a relatively safe place, at least for the moment. They had left the slavery of Egypt behind. They were living in a relatively fertile land that had been producing crops. They were living in what was considered the promised land, the land of milk and honey. And I noticed when I toured through Israel and through that part of the world, there really is a line there where the desert stops and the Jordan River is there, and because the Jordan River is there, it all of a sudden it becomes lush and full of fruit, trees and fields and birds, and it comes to life. And you look at one side and it's absolute desert, and the other side is this land of milk and honey. But perhaps this passage can speak to us today, because it was during a time of peace and abundance that God's people began trading in their God for a new God. And which this passage said is actually no God, an illusion. Perhaps we are still in that place today. And the image that Jeremiah gives us of a cracked cistern is one that is very, I think, profound if we kind of stop for a few minutes to think about what cisterns were. Cisterns were important in the life of Israel, a dry and parched land, especially in the summer. It meant that the gathering, the storing, and the conservation of water was critical to the survival and the life of Israel. A series of cisterns built into the limestones and rock beneath the surfaces provided important access to water, Some of them were just private cisterns underneath a house with only a few hundred gallons, and others of them were in the middle of the city and held millions of gallons of water, one of them underneath the Garden of Gethsemane. There was also a city that was built in the desert called Masada, and it was built on the top of a large hill out in the Judean desert, initially as both a retreat and fortress for Herod the Great. And it was taken over by Jewish rebels and occupied, but was a continual embarrassment to Rome, as these rebels would go out to create trouble and then return to this very fortified city way up on top of the desert. And you could see out for miles and miles if anyone was coming and pick them off before they had any chance to harm you. Well, Rome got tired of that one day and built a wall around the base of that city and blocked it off and brought in 15,000 soldiers. There was 980 people up at the top of that fortress, brought in 15,000 soldiers and decided they would build a ramp up so that they could take over the city. And of course, the problem still remains that once you got out behind that wall, people could pick you off very easily. So they took the Jewish slaves and forced them to build the ramp, and their Jewish brothers and sisters at the top did not kill them to protect themselves. And that went on for over a year, and they finally breached the walls. But during that entire year, despite being cut off from all sources of food and water, the cisterns sustained the growth of the crops and the needs of water for those people. And it was even written in the history books that they hung out dripping wet laundry on the lines to dry, something you wouldn't do if you were afraid of running out of water. But a properly built cistern, even in a desert, would help people to grow and survive. Well, cisterns could also be used for storage if they were empty. And the only survivors of Masada actually hid in those large cisterns. Scholars believe that Joseph, stripped of his coat from his brothers, was actually deposited into a cistern before being sold as a slave. They would also double as cold, murky prisons. And ironically, if you keep reading in Jeremiah, when you reach chapter 38, for prophesying, he was thrown into a cistern, as was Paul in the New Testament for preaching the gospel. And sometimes we are in a cistern not because we have done anything wrong, but because we have done something right. Sometimes we are in darkness because imprisoned in darkness does not mean that we are forgotten by God, but rather just waiting for the plan to unfold. You see, Joseph saved an entire nation. Jeremiah turned a whole generation back towards God. And Paul started at the Christian church. And all of them spent time in a dark cistern underneath the surface of the earth with the cover pulled over. A broken cistern, however, meant that water could seep out. And water was the source of life, of growth, and of health. And I know many of you remember in May in 2000 when the town of Walkerton, with a population of 5,000, had 23 people fell ill and 7 die from E. coli poisoning after the water system failed. And many more needed kidney replacements and ongoing medical care for years and decades, and are still suffering the effects of that. In 2014, Flint, Michigan switched their water source, and the resulting damage to the pipe caused lead and other contaminants to leach into the water supply, and a whole town is still in a state of emergency. A water system supply that is broken is a huge threat. And Flint, Michigan is racing back towards the lake with the pipes, hoping to beat winter to get water into their system. Jeremiah was warning his people that if cisterns don't hold water, they are not only useless, but become prisons. we live in a culture that builds many broken cisterns. Most of them are prisons for our fears and hurts and anxieties. We're building walls between us and people. We're building fear. We live on fear. We live in a culture where we shut down a whole transit system if somebody leaves a box somewhere. And that's necessary, but it talks about how fear-based our culture is. God's people had forgotten God. God had brought His people on a horrible journey, actually. Leaving Egypt behind was hard. Leaving any abusive relationship behind is hard. Listen to the words of Jeremiah explaining, God who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that no one passes through, where no one lives. That's what's recorded in Jeremiah. See, there is no safe place. There are only places where God walks with us. We all have moments where we look back and say, I can't believe that I survived that time in my life. Whether it was an illness, a breakup of a relationship, incredibly difficult work, financial strain, emotional breakdown, difficult times in families, existential angst, or more often than not, it's all those things combined together. Make no mistake, God doesn't just lead you in the wilderness, God leads you into the wilderness. I'm going to say that again. God doesn't just lead you once you're in the wilderness. Sometimes God leads you right into the wilderness. God leads us into places of darkness and drought. God leads us into lands where no one passes through except we get through. God leads us where no one lives and yet we survive. Sometimes the cistern of faith is drained away when we allow our culture to recreate God as the God that only leads us out, because God is the God that also leads us in. This is perhaps one of the greatest tragedies of faith today. I watch radio programming for Christian faith, I watch TV programming for Christian faith, and the only stories that are there are the ones where everybody has a happy ending. And I want to say, can you put in a few people who are struggling and are saying, I'm not quite sure where God is right now in my life.